You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lord Mary trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Yes. Rick, hilarious. We love his porn humor.
Hilarious. My co-host, Dave Rothenberg.
And I tried to tell you, and you're like, McCarthy's not going to get a top five.
There's something wrong with you. Our amazing producers, fearless leader, RJ Santillo.
Name two things you thought she did well.
Janine. How about the very handsome single ladies, Raymond Santiago?
Well, he
football
is.
Purist.
Yes, you are. Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys. Buddy of Wits, who played in the NHL's.
Buddy Newitz?
No, a buddy of wits.
Oh.
A buddy of wits. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776.
Be safe on your vacation. Where are you going?
Florida.
Fat camp.
God
nice.
Bless. Don't you get...
That was not nice. Carol had your back. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
Some things are bigger than what's happening on the gridiron.
How dare you. Unbelievable show. Unbelievable day. Tournament kicking off this afternoon. We got the Rangers in Boston. We got the Knicks finishing up their West Coast trip in Denver. Humongous game for my Islanders against their Wings. Rob Manfred may have a big problem on his hands with one of the faces of Major League Baseball. Saquon told a really cute story, has Giants fans upset. We're going to hear from Jets' new wide receiver, Mike Williams. Giancarlo Stanton had a day yesterday. Buster only. Said something that not going to love if you're a Yankees fan. The Mets finalized their pitching rotations. We head into the start of the season. We got stuff you missed at 9:15. Everyone's favorite. I love it. The station ID at 8. And as always, on Thursday at 7:45, we have an observation. Did it happen in Florida? But before we get to all of that, let's for a second imagine what it might actually be like if Dave did walk in on Sherry having lunch with RJ. So Dave walks in and sees RJ.
98.7. Hello.
Dave, initially confused, says to RJ, why are you talking like that?
This is me, RJ, the woman.
Where's Sherry?
Woohoo! Over here!
Why is she in the bedroom?
I gotta get out of here. This spot's too hot.
As RJ panics and runs out the front door, a scantily dressed Sherry saunters out of the bedroom, and Dave says,
Why?
Out of nowhere, RJ's back in the house, sticks his head in the front door, and says,
belong in a trash can kind of look.
Dave's now furious. He says,
well, now murder you.
In his mind, Dave feels like he has a lot to offer, too.
I mean, that's what I swallow.
I bet you do. Here he is, very talented, the one and only David Hugh Rothenberg.
That was good.
That was a lot.
That was
a lot.
It might have been a lot, but it was good. It was like a Mad Libs. That last little section. That was good.
No, it just all of the conversation yesterday, coupled with some of the things that you've said over the last couple days,
right,
led right to.
You're quite the talent there.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would.
Let's not get carried away.
I mean, you know what the best thing to ever happen to you was? You know, like all the time you say, the best thing to ever happen to you was me.
Your comrade shutting down?
My comrade shutting down, whenever that was, and then you had to have that, you know, awkward, good Thursday morning. It's not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It's the Thursday. How about those Knicks? That is the best thing to ever happen to you, because from that, we spur this beautiful opening.
That was actually almost
Thursday morning.
Yeah. That was almost actually the verbatim what I said.
Yeah. That was unbelievable.
It was that bad.
It was a good Thursday morning. It's not the Wednesday that, in fact, Dave hates, but today is a Thursday. Knicks are very good. And that was it. Like it was like you needed like 11 seconds, and I was back. But
I didn't know that.
Well, I know you didn't know it.
I got 15 seconds before the
but
show.
The fact,
Dave is gone. Dave is gone.
But okay. But is it fair to say that you're a radio professional?
No.
What do you mean no?
No.
What do you mean no?
You say it all the time. No, I am not a professional.
Well, you're as close to a professional as we have here on the show.
Right.
Right? So you're a radio professional. For John Winthrop to think that he could come in here and do what we do like that is one of the biggest insults that we have going in this industry.
There is no chance. No chance. He's having a hard time running a meeting yesterday.
Running a meeting? I'm so angry at him. I mean, I tried so many times to get what I wanted out of that meeting. I couldn't push.
The way you pivoted yesterday was a thing of beauty.
What?
I did not see that coming.
The
I knew I was waiting because you had mentioned,
text,
like it said, no, before, during the meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Like the way that you kind of, you wove that into the conversation was beautiful. It
might have been beautiful. I didn't get what I wanted.
No, I assume when you did that, respect for how you did it, you would have got your way. He was having none of it. And I didn't even fall asleep in the meeting yesterday.
Oh, what?
I was very attentive.
So this is where we are.
I was very attentive.
RJ, think about that now. Is there a lower bar for any workplace environment than we have here? Quote, I didn't even fall asleep in the meeting yesterday. Wow.
I think you meant that as a compliment.
I did.
By the way, you mentioned the open.
Yeah.
Do you know how long ago this happened?
All right, here we go, fellas.
Oh. Not only I didn't
what
realize
that?
That you stumbled.
That was the open?
Good Thursday morning.
Wait, the here we go fellas was
that the
part
open?
Of that?
I think it was just part of the greater debacle.
Wow.
But here's the thing.
So when was that, you're asking?
March 11th, 2021.
No way.
Yeah.
That's
three years
old?
Yeah.
I've been doing 3 years of opens?
Well, here's the question then. Where was Canty?
Pooh, that's a good question.
And why did he not get?
It might have been during
grenade thrown in his lap.
It might have been during his vacation.
I think he was off that day.
I think he was off that day.
So
because otherwise, I could have went right to him. You know what I mean?
Well, right. You could have had a conversation with him. Hey, Chris, Dave's going to be here in a minute. So really, everything that could go wrong went wrong for you.
Right.
My Comrex goes out doing the show from home still during the pandemic, and Canty takes the day off, and you're left on an island.
Stranded.
And then you start with, hello, fellas. good Thursday morning.
I wish you could have. I wish we were in the same studio. We wouldn't be, but if we were, you could see the sheer panic in my face. I was sweating.
What was your plan?
There was no plan. The plan was gone.
So the plan is gone.
The plan is gone. There was no plan.
So
I was not planning with 10 seconds before the show to start that your Comrex would go dead.
Okay.
So the plan's gone.
So question for you. Better for that to happen or for at 5:30 for you to learn, you know what, Dave's not going to be there till like 6:05?
I guess
it was 5:05 at the time,
I think 5:30 probably now because we have RJ and Raymond. So,
but we had RJ and Raymond then also.
No, I know, but this is 3 years ago. I think now they're established as members of the show.
I think at that point, I had only been with you guys for like 9 or 10 weeks, too.
Right. So now I go.
I can't believe it's so long.
Now
ago.
I bring them on as co-hosts.
Right.
And I introduce them,
but
and then
you,
we start
but
talking.
But do you stumble?
Yeah. Probably.
Like the hello, fellas.
I don't know if I say fellas.
I think you can do it.
Let me hear that hello, fellas. that's very.
All right, here we go, fellas.
There's no way that was the open.
I don't think it was.
Couldn't be.
But in my
that was a read, I bet.
But in my mind,
you know what? It is now. Is it fair to say that you're a radio professional?
No. It's not. No.
I think Rick could do it now. I think you'd do much
I don't
better.
Want to do it, though.
Yeah, but I think you could.
Let's. Now, I'm getting. And this can't be right.
What?
The guy thinks he loves the show more than anybody else. Isles, Mets, Jets fan says Canty wasn't on the show because he was doing Get Up at 5 in the morning?
Well, no, that might have been a day that he was going to Get Up. So he couldn't do both.
He couldn't do our show because he was on his way to Get Up at 5?
Well, I don't think he was on his way at 5, but he wasn't going to do like an hour of the show and then leave
well,
and go to Get Up.
Well, the question is why? Why would he not?
Well, I think the production meetings for Get Up start
early,
around, yeah. Yeah, like 6.
Oh,
maybe,
really?
Maybe
yeah,
early.
Yeah, they have early production meetings, yeah.
So maybe this guy's right then.
He said he's a diehard fan, so maybe he's probably right.
Evan Cook emails in, that was the best Thursday open by Rick I think he's ever done. You guys are by far the best on radio. I love you both. That's nice.
That is very nice. It's also nice we got some live baseball. Love it.
We do. I still think this is... Oh, Yamamoto's on the mound today,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And can I ask you a question?
Ask me anything you want.
Am I the only one that finds it a tad bit curious that this guy's wearing a Toronto Blue Jays hat?
Why?
What do you mean?
It matches my outfit.
Well, I understand. Are you looking for appearance or are you looking for fandom?
No, I'm just.
I mean, you're a Mets fan. You could wear.
I love Major League Baseball hats.
You could wear your black Mets hat.
It would match this.
It goes with anything black. You can wear black with anything.
No, you can't. You're not going to wear black with this outfit. I got navy pants on.
I don't know. RJ,
look at my sneakers.
All right, listen, I don't understand
how
things...
Look at the gray
sneakers. I don't understand the machinations of
RJ,
how...
RJ, come in here, look at this outfit.
No, it
tell me
it doesn't matter. You don't need to
it.
Come and look at the outfit. RJ, he's wearing a Toronto Blue Jays. Would you, RJ, would you ever walk around in a...
He's a Yankees fan.
Can I finish a statement and say a St. Louis Cardinals hat?
No, I would not.
He would not. Do you look at him differently right now? Be honest now. The fact that he walks in a Blue Jays hat as a diehard Mets fan, is that a problem?
I've always found it interesting. Now, they're never teams that directly coincide with the Mets, but ever since I've known him, he's worn what I would attribute to be random baseball hats.
Does it bother you at all?
I don't know if it bothers me. It confuses me.
Well, how about this? How about I try to ease your minds here? This hat was not like I went on the computer and was like, I'm going to order a Toronto Blue Jays hat. I was at a Toronto Blue Jays game.
And you bought the hat.
And I bought the hat.
All right. Listen, I think that makes it a little better.
If I go to a stadium that of a team that, like RJ said, has no effect on my team, I will occasionally buy a hat.
All right. I mean, Raymond, would you ever walk in with a San Francisco Giants hat on?
Never in my life.
Yeah. I have a Giants hat.
See,
beautiful ballpark.
Yeah, that's great. You're bearing the lead. You're the only one of the four of us that would walk in with another team's hat.
Okay.
What else do you have? I think you have a Rays hat.
I have a bunch of Rays hats, yeah.
Well, because, I mean, his in-laws are in Tampa.
Yeah. But a lot of those they send to me, though, the Rays hats.
Okay. That's fine.
Oh, I didn't tell you this story. Did I tell you this story?
Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
I don't even know if I told you guys this story yet. About Milo's first hockey practice? Did I tell you this?
I don't think so. But there's a chance it's happening lately that you've been telling stories and I don't remember them.
Right. Well, just saying.
RJ, do you remember a Milo hockey practice story?
I do not.
Why are you laughing like that?
Because just you guys know each other so well that without any context, Rick just goes, did I tell you this story? Expecting you to know what he's talking about with absolutely zero caveats whatsoever.
That's right.
It's actually surprising you didn't know.
Well, right. How could I know? Maybe I do, but how could I know with him not telling me what it is?
All right, so Milo had trials, like I told you, had the tryouts.
Right.
So they picked the team. So this was our first practice as a...
You coached this team, right?
Yeah, as a team. So we had the practice. We had like the meeting with the parents. And then after the practice, we wanted the kids to have... we get some pizza. One of the parents brought some donuts for afterwards. Kids would sit around, get to know each other. And then... The other coach was like, hey, you know what would be a good idea? Each kid stands up. This is my name. This is the position I play. This is my favorite team, and this is my favorite player. So we start. Hi, my name's so-and-so. I play, I'm a right wing. My favorite team is the Islanders, and my favorite player is Matt Barzal.
So it's almost like when they do the opening to the Little League montage.
Kind of.
Right?
So
it's
we're
like,
going,
I'm Buster, and I'm from Santa Fe. I love the Godfather.
Correct.
Yeah, go
so
ahead.
We go
love
one
it.
By one. So we got Islanders. We got a Rangers. We got this. We got that. It comes to Milo.
Uh-oh. He said Lightning.
My name's Milo. I play goalie. My favorite team is, and I'm like, oh no. The Lightning, and my favorite player is Steven Stamkos.
Lightning!
In front of all the parents.
Wow.
And they were all looking at me, and I was like, oh.
I thought Vasilevsky is his guy.
Yeah, that's what I said to him after. I think he just panicked. Because he got nervous. I was like, Stamkos, he doesn't even play goalie. He's like, well, I like Stammer too. I was like, you couldn't say the Islanders for me. He's like, oh, that's a good point.
He didn't even think of it.
Like,
in retrospect, the Islanders didn't even pop into his mind.
No, and all the parents were laughing. I like, put my head down and walked out. Like, of all the times to say that.
Yeah, and you say I failed as a parent.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
I
bad.
Failed and Cassie succeeded. Clearly.
Yeah, but you, I can't believe
that's
Cassie beat
look.
You there.
It's a tough look for me.
That's like if my kids are walking around like, oh, who do you root for? Oh, the Cowboys or the, I guess, Lightning or not the Cowboys
no.
to you, but who do you root for? The Falcons. I mean, that's not an option.
No, and Vasilevsky actually gave him a signed stick, too, for him to say not say Vasilevsky.
Yeah, but it should have been Islanders' favorite player, my dad.
Or Sorokin.
No,
or...
no, come on. That's one of
well,
those
never forever, saw me play, though.
But that's
so
one
that's
of those
fair.
Forever moments, though.
Right.
Like, he says that, you probably start weeping. You pop Kelly Clarkson on in the car on the way home, and you feel Milo, like, the closeness I feel to you right
now.
Yeah,
no, it didn't happen.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a tough one for me.
RJ, see what you have to look forward to?
Tough look.
Well, I mean, lucky for me, I don't really have any precedent whatsoever and have accomplished very little in my life, so I don't have any kind of situation like I could see that playing out, but that's tough. I'm sad.
It was hurtful.
Yeah, I don't know how you get up from that.
I'm sad for you.
I didn't.
Do you think he has any guilt, or you think he's just like, hey?
I think he felt guilty afterwards. When I told Cassie the story, he's like, yeah, you probably should have said dad, huh? And she's like, that would have been nice.
Right. At least. So if he says Islanders, Chico Resch. You okay with that?
Yeah.
He says Islanders.
Well, what made it worse,
Kelly Rudy.
What made it worse, though, is that so the coach that he runs the team kind of gives like the whole rundown of this is the, you know, this is the expectations, this is how we coach, whatever, you know, and introduces the coaches and, you know, this is Rick DiPietro, kind of gives my background. So all the parents, they already know anyway, but just for the new parents.
Right.
Like he played for the Islanders. So naturally, as it transitions to, okay, kids, what's your favorite team? Who's your favorite player? Mom's right. like, the Lightning.
The Lightning and
Stammer.
Stamkos. That's nice. From Superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's very easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. So we have, and I don't want to get into it now. We'll take a break and get into it in just a moment. Firstly, we have more baseball, which I just is ridiculous to me that they're playing at 6 o'clock in the morning. If you're in San Diego or L.A., it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You have to wake up on a Thursday. It's not even like it's a weekend. It's not even like it's a Friday, at least, that you're at the weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if they're that overly concerned about those people.
Clearly, they're not concerned about anybody.
Well, it's good for us. I mean, if you're up now nationally.
But they're not doing it for us. They're doing it for the game solely. They are not interested in what anybody in anybody's schedule, what anybody cares about, no. Right? You would agree with that?
Yes. Right.
But now it feels like, and by the way, Yamamoto is getting hammered. First five guys have gotten on base, two runs already in.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is big, exciting news. The DNR pregame party is back. Here's how it's going to play out. We're going to Publicans once again in Manhasset. It was so good, we'll go back to the same venue. That's on Long Island, Thursday, May the 2nd. Then we're riding the LIRR to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets and Cubs before we go into the game at 1:10 p.m. and sit in section 129. So you want to buy tickets and hang out with us, section 129. That's Thursday, May the 2nd, Publicans again in Manhasset, and then right over to Citi Field. We will see you there. Did you have something you wanted to say?
No, nothing.
All right, so if you don't know, let's give the cliff notes and then we can kind of dive into the story. Firstly, this is a very bad look for baseball. Secondly, I will say this, it was only a matter of time, and these stories will only continue to creep up with the prevalence of gambling and the fact that we've now made it part of normal everyday society. All right, so here's the headline for you, ESPN.com. Big story, Dodgers fire Shohei Ohtani's interpreter amid allegation of massive theft. So we don't know exactly what's true. Here is what we're kind of gathering, and we can fill in the blanks. And I think you're more studied up on the story than I am. But Dodgers interpreter Shohei Ohtani, for Shohei Ohtani, was fired. Now, he was in the dugout yesterday.
In the dugout, yeah.
Ninth inning, Shohei.
Right. Did not look like a relationship where
was fractured whatsoever.
Someone stole from the other person.
So he was fired yesterday afternoon after there were questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation. And that set off, obviously, a massive investigation. So here's the thing that's curious. The interpreter did a full interview with ESPN, right?
Correct.
That was going to either air...
Set up by one of Ohtani's spokespeople.
Or snippets of it were going to air. And then Dodgers contacted, or who contacted ESPN and said, no.
This was on Tuesday.
You got to squash this thing.
So on Tuesday, Ohtani's spokesman set up a 90-minute interview with ESPN.
Which feels like a 90-minute interview.
Well, it's a big... I mean, it's a big-time story.
But 90 minutes is a long time.
You're talking about, I mean, $4.5 million we're talking about here. So, as that thing's about to get published on Wednesday, they step in, because this is clearly not going to be a good look.
Dodgers step in.
No. Representatives for Ohtani step in.
Okay, so his people step in.
Say, we can't run this. Lawyers will be in touch. So, the lawyers end up releasing the statement, saying that there was a massive theft, which completely contradicts the story that the interpreter just got done on Tuesday
where he said that Ohtani was involved in loaning him the money or giving him, or whatever you want to call it, for all this massive debt he got himself into.
Yeah, right. So this is how the statement reads. So Tuesday the interview happens. As they're about to publish the story, the spokesperson, I guess who set up the interview in the first place, says that the story that the interpreter just told you is not true. Ohtani's lawyer is going to issue a statement. So the statement is, in the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft, and we're turning the matter over to the authorities. But the way the interpreter says how this whole thing went down is that, start with, he said he never gambled on baseball. Never gambled on baseball.
Right.
Okay? So he meets a guy, an illegal bookmaker, at a poker game 2021. Starts placing bets with him. By the end of 2022... he's over $1 million in the hole.
Right.
Okay, this thing balloons up from there. So he approaches, apparently what he says is he approaches Ohtani, because they have this, I mean, he's been with Ohtani since he came to the United States, worked at the Angels.
I'm sure it must be a very tight relationship, because this is one of his only outlets to be able to express himself
in
this country.
Teammates describe it as like they're more like brothers than friends.
So of course, I mean, Ohtani's worth $1 trillion. He's going to get involved and help his buddy.
Right, so he's not happy, but he gets involved, and they start paying down the debt from Ohtani's account. These are wire transfers. So they have...
Which in its own right, I mean, he had no comprehension that this was illegal, Ohtani? I mean, this is not like you're betting with BetMGM or FanDuel or a legal entity. In California, gambling is not legal. Sports gambling online is not legal. So this is with, just to, you know, confirm, an illegal bookmaker this is happening with. Continue.
Okay, so what he says is Shohei had no involvement, but he wants everyone to know that they didn't know it was illegal, right?
Please.
He's going to pay it off. Shohei was mad, but he would pay it off, and then he would promise that he would never do it again. So in January, I guess the feds who are, I mean, the reason they stumble across this is because they're investigating this guy in the legal book.
It was obviously a huge bookmaker.
Right. They come across Ohtani's name in January.
On checks?
Two transfers, $500,000 each.
I mean, how? First of all, the whole thing is very upsetting. It really is. I mean, the fact that you have one of, if not the face of Major League Baseball is at a minimum involved in a gambling scandal is an awful look. Secondly, how dumb can you be that from your actual account, you're either writing checks or transferring money right from your account?
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't know how familiar. That'd probably be a phone call that he should have made to somebody that actually knows what's legal and what's illegal. Right. So Major League employees can legally gamble on sports outside of baseball, but they're not allowed. It's against the rules to bet with illegal bookmakers and offshore websites, which he's with an illegal bookmaker. So to make a long story short here is that he ends up paying this off. And anyone watching the game yesterday or some of the highlights now of how they were interacting in the dugout doesn't seem like the relationship was, hey, this guy stole $4.5 million.
It did not look fractured in the least, correct.
But I think the alarming thing with this is how on Tuesday you get one story, which sounds like it's the actual story, and then Wednesday, no, that's not the story. It wasn't Ohtani involved. He didn't help him out. The money was stolen. So now we're kind of in a weird spot where he's fired. By the way, How much money? I already told you this, but how much money do you think the interpreter was being paid? The team pays him, by the way.
Well, you told me, so that's not fair. Like, what about upward? No, I don't understand this. It's between $300,000 and $500,000.
I don't think he gave an exact number, but that was he's been compensated like between $300,000 and $500,000 a year.
So he has now lost $4.5 million, 10 times his annual salary?
Dude, he met the guy in 2021. By the end of 2022, he's already over $1 million in the hole. In the sit down interview, too, he's like, I'm not good at it.
Right, so here's the quote for that. So he says, I want everyone to know Shohei had zero involvement in betting, which again, I mean, it has to, Major League Baseball has to do their due diligence. That has to be a concern that somehow Ohtani was involved. And I'm not saying he was, but you have to follow the trail here, right? So he says, I want everyone to know Shohei had zero involvement in betting. I want people to know I did not know this, in fact, was illegal, which I don't understand how you couldn't know that this was illegal. And then he says, I learned my lesson the hard way. I'll never do sports betting again. You lost four. I lost $25,000. I had to borrow from my parents and pay it off. He lost $4.5 million. That's life changing money. $4.5 million. This is the beginning of what I think is going to be a big issue for Major League Baseball.
He says, I'm terrible. Never going to do it again. Never won any money. So I guess the other reason why, I mean, you asked the question why Ohtani would do this and especially kind of how he did it.
Not why he would help his friend. That doesn't puzzle me. What puzzles me is that he made it so easy to track it back to him.
Yeah, but at least I would say this, though. At least, I mean, you have a spokesperson. You're one of the, I mean, you're the face of baseball. You're one of the biggest celebrities, I mean, in the sport. Probably the biggest celebrity in the sport, not just in this country. I mean, just across, I mean, what he is in Japan and everywhere else. He's got his own lawyers. Like, dude, maybe pick up the phone and like, hey, ask.
Of course.
What should we do here?
Or couldn't that? And again, I don't know how this kind of stuff works, but isn't that something that like the lawyers have a certain amount of money on retainer for him, and he signs a waiver saying, yeah, give my interpreter whatever he needs to pay
this
debt off?
Well, yeah, am I okay paying this off? Like, what do we do?
Right. Or does it have to be kind of covered up through you or another friend? Or it's just, I don't know. It's a brutal story, and but here's the thing. At what point? I mean, you're not shocked by this. You might be shocked it's Ohtani. You might be shocked at the magnitude. You might be shocked. We are begging for this to happen right now. I used to gamble quite a bit. It's a dangerous, slippery slope. And if you think this is going to be the last time we hear something about this, you are sorely mistaken.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's almost like, and you've heard this is a cliche, right? The cover-up, a lot of the time the cover-up's worse than the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So to say all the things that he said initially on Tuesday, and like in paying Ohtani as most friends, I mean, listen, you rack up $4.5 million. I can't help you out, but
no, but
like $4.5 million
for Ohtani,
right? If you have the means, right. You sit down and he actually says to the guy, and the guy says the reason why he did it from his own computer and made like and wanted to do the wire transfers because he didn't trust him with the money. He's like, he's not going to like, here's the money, go pay off your debt, because he's afraid I'm going to gamble it.
He's going to go gamble it, of course.
What makes this a problem now is that once he says all that stuff. Ohtani was there. We sat at his own computer. And we wired the money. We actually put loan on it and all these different things that he did. Now it's like, no, that's not right. He wasn't involved.
Right.
No knowledge of the gambling, the debts, any of it.
Right. And now we're led to believe that the money was stolen from Ohtani?
Yeah.
Come on. You know what? It doesn't add up. I mean, somebody's lying here somewhere. There's going to be a full investigation, and it is a really, really bad look for Ohtani. For obviously the interpreter and for Major League Baseball. And if you think this is the last time there's going to be something like this, I mean, Calvin Ridley was suspended. I mean, guys, we have made gambling part of our everyday lives. That's what we've done, right? We do ads for it. People gamble. We're in a meeting the other day. 10 years ago, you think we could ever be in a meeting at ESPN when one of our coworkers or teammates or whatever you want to call them sits there and says, so I'm involved in a 10-team parlay last night. No. We have made this part of everyday life. So you're going to have to live with what has now been started. And this is where we are.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I'll go to Nobservations if and when I want to go to Nobservations.
These.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Are knobs.
Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs.
And this.
Have a nice fight, Mike.
Is Nobservations.
So we have one story we're going to get to that really is troubling. Rick sent it in the group chat yesterday. I found it discouraging. And we're going to get there. But.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was going to do a segment or two on this.
Would you like me to leave it alone?
I would.
I could do that for you.
Because here's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to do Nobservations.
So we could say what it is then.
No.
So people stick around.
No, it's a big piece of information, but I don't think you should tell what it is right now.
Just to confirm, we're talking about the same thing. This is.
Is this a friend of the program that said it?
No.
Oh, then I don't know.
This is a former. this is a former athlete.
You know what I was talking about, though.
This is a former athlete.
You've teased it for the last 45 minutes. Yeah. Yes, I know what you're talking
about.
All
right, great. Well, no, we're going to get to it.
What I was talking about is a former athlete of this city playing elsewhere now.
I don't know that story.
Okay. No.
Saquon!
Oh, you can go ahead with that.
Oh, my God.
He's lost total interest in eating an egg sandwich. I don't even know what you're eating. All righty.
But the other one about the friend of the program brought that story up. Save that, because right after you finish with these little nuggets, I'm going to get to that.
I don't even know if I know
what
you're talking about.
He wasn't going to do that one.
Yeah, I think we're at different wavelengths.
I know the
you
story
know what
you're
I'm talking about.
About.
Yeah.
I know the story you're talking about. RJ was never going to do that.
And how would I know that? I mean, really, you know him so well.
Pre-show meeting?
He said in the pre-show meeting, I will not be doing the story that you're talking about.
I'm not. It's confirmed not that story.
Okay, great. Go ahead then.
That's a troubling story also, and it makes me very sad.
Right.
It just buried right in there. Oh, by the way. Meh. So, this is my favorite story going on right now.
Because you know it's going to annoy me. That's why
it. I think you'll be fully on board with this. Dan Monson. You familiar with him? I think you are, Dan.
Basketball head coach, of course.
Yeah.
I think he used to coach Gonzaga.
That might be right.
What do you mean you think you are? I think you are, Dave. I know the story. Long Beach State.
No, he's saying he thinks that I know who he is aside from being the head coach of Long Beach State. Like, I know who he is. I think he was the one that brought Gonzaga, I believe, into prominence. And then Mark Few took over.
Yeah, Mark Few's been there for, 20-something years now?
A long time.
So, he's the head coach of Long Beach State, who is in the tournament. They play number 2 Arizona today. Before the Big West, which is where Long Beach State plays, before that conference tournament began, Monson learned that he would not have his contract renewed. He's been there a long time, over 2 decades. So he called a team meeting.
He's been at Long Beach State for over 2 decades?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He's been coaching over 2 decades. He's been at Long Beach State for, I'll find the exact number of years.
17 years. He was at Gonzaga, I'm right, from 97 to 99.
So calls a team meeting to inform his players he's no longer going to be their coach after their next loss, whenever that comes. Turns out the loss has still not come. You've probably caught a little wind of this by now. They win the tournament, 3 straight victories, and they're dancing starting today. But here was Monson yesterday at his media availability. And this is a part that I think you guys will really appreciate.
Okay, I don't have to answer anything I don't want to because I'm working for free today. You guys see the Seinfeld when George Costanza was trying to get fired and couldn't get lose his job and still going to work every day, and that's me. I'm a Seinfeld episode going on right now in real life.
He really kind of is.
I love it.
He's a man literally that doesn't have a job.
And ironically, George is trying to get fired because he's trying to get a job with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, but wasn't there I kind of remember, wasn't there another episode where he did get fired, but he just kept showing up to work?
Well, he said it didn't take.
It didn't take.
So he quit, and then Monday showed up, and they're like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I was just kidding when I did that, and that wasn't real. Yeah.
So here's the story I was talking about, not the one that you're going to do, Dave, but also a troubling story. Saquon Barkley let the social media team of the Eagles, his new employer, roll around with him for a little bit of time. And he was driving, and he was telling a story of what happened when he told his daughter that he was going to be an Eagle and they'd be moving to Philadelphia.
I remember one time when I was with the Giants and we lost to Philly in the playoffs. We went to a diner to get some breakfast, and there was a bird. And she was like, Daddy, oh no, oh no. And I'm like, what is it? She points to the bird and she was like, it's the Eagles, it's the Eagles. And me and Anna, you know, we just started laughing. And I just put my head down. I just kind of start shaking. So when I told her that we're going to be going to Philly, she kind of was just like, does that mean we're going to win now?
That's hysterical.
Oh, a cute little story.
That's a great little story there.
You think she really said that? What are the chances that she really said that?
She's what, like 5? 6? Didn't he have her right after he was drafted?
I don't know how old she is.
Yes.
I think so he was drafted not even six years ago. So she's 5 years old? I don't know.
I'm sorry. How long do you think it's going to take to win?
Not long.
Yeah.
Until I can't stand him?
Yeah.
We're walking there. In there. Yeah. No, I don't. I mean, what do I have to like? A great player. I'm not denying that. But I think, you know, A.J. Brown's a great player too. I very quickly will probably detest Saquon Barkley.
You read into the fact that they gave his number away immediately?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I know that's what...
Yeah, it's
there's bad feelings on both sides.
Well, Rick...
But why would either side have bad feelings, though? I guess I kind of understand why he would have bad feelings.
Yeah, I don't know why the Giants would have bad feelings.
I mean, what did he do to the Giants?
No, I mean, he would... Nothing.
Oh, so why would
I don't know. I just
maybe
it was,
maybe it's weird that they gave his number... I agree with that. Maybe they just thought we have a guy here, we're kind of... You know, in between what we should appropriately do, and we don't really want to keep him. And I think they did not want to keep him at that salary. I know they didn't want to keep him at that salary, and they felt like they got as much as they could. And he's gone, and there's no great loss. And Devin Singletary, take the number 26.
Well, I bet, and right or wrong, I bet he feels that they strung him along. I bet you he feels that.
Well, Rick, you would know
better. They also offered him a deal that he declined, by the way, a couple years back. Let's not forget that.
What was the deal?
I don't know the exact numbers on the deal, but they certainly offered
right,
him a deal.
But, I mean, you can understand why he wanted to hit the free market. I mean, that's...
Well, he got paid more than he would have gotten paid with the Giants. Yeah. I understand both sides. I understand the Giants saying it's not worth us paying him $13 million and 26 guaranteed. And I understand him saying, well, then let me leave here and go sign somewhere else. I understand all of it. I don't think anybody did anything wrong. I just think that there's going to be some hard feelings now because... Even the best of breakups has some animosity.
Well, and what's going to make this tough is you don't play them every 4 years.
No, we play them twice a year.
But I always think, though, too, even when you break up with somebody, you're always like, yeah, best intentions. But then I think when you break up, it sounds good. And then all of a sudden she's dating.
And then you feel a certain way.
Right.
You just naturally feel a certain way. It's never going to be, she's amazing. She was great.
So happy.
I love her. I'll always love her, but it's better off if we're apart. There's always something that, I mean, you know, here's the truth. You don't break up if it's perfect. You only break up when, in fact, it's not perfect. So, listen, this will continue to happen. Can I quickly interject, RJ?
Yeah, sure.
You're listening to DNR, DPHR, and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM. Where?
New York.
Go ahead,
that's
RJ.
That's a nice echo.
Thank you.
RJ, do you find that sexy when I do that?
I thought it was interesting what you did.
Maybe that would be one of your OnlyFans bits.
No.
You really want him on OnlyFans.
Oh, he wants to massage me is what he wants.
I think we'd make quite a bit of cha-ching.
Let me see your hands. Are they strong?
Strong? I am.
Like, can you get in there deep?
Oh, I can. I'm a terrific masseur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take it under advisement.
Yeah. Very nice massager. Yep.
That's nice. That's nice. So
he has some, like, I'm not certain he was even listening to what we were saying, and he's just like, that's what were we saying?
You're talking about hand strength and him massaging Rick and OnlyFans.
Yeah, you were listening,
right?
Okay. Yeah, you're right on.
I'm just trying to move on.
No, good for you.
So you see what Steph Diggs tweeted over the weekend? in this ongoing, as we, I feel like this is kind of how we gauge the temperature of athletes now. Social media, did they scrub their social media? What's going on there? He tweeted, kind of without context, ready for whatever. Which, who knows? Maybe that's his way of letting the team know that maybe he's interested elsewhere.
Where does he want to go?
Well, the thing is, though,
Dallas.
His production fell off a little bit the second half of last year.
Well, then I think that's why he's annoyed.
Once Joe Brady took over, yeah.
Because he's not getting the football. Well, because they became more of a two-dimensional team, right? They started to run the football a lot.
And they did it well.
Very well. Against the Cowboys. Remember, they ran right down their throats over and over. Sorry,
so,
Ray.
Let me ask you this.
Just be honest. Don't what? Lie. You're not sorry.
Not sorry, Ray.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're only...
It was great. James Cook, it was just like running through the defense.
We're not even...
They crushed them that
fully
day.
Through free agency.
It was like
agency.
A Rondell Moore kind of situation.
Rondell Moore, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
You remember where he went?
Purdue.
No. I mean, where he signed, where you can find him. Atlanta.
There goes Rondell Moore. Bye-bye.
Right now, Chiefs aside, we're only part of the way through free agency. Haven't gone to the draft. I don't want to go crazy yet. But are the Bills still far and away the best team in the AFC East to you?
No.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
No.
Yes, you're
far and away.
I'm saying
they're
yes.
They're not far and away the best team.
I believe they
Stop.
Are. Stop. Until I see the Jets as that team. Okay. It's not New England.
No, it's not.
It's not Miami. No. So the only team you could include is the Jets. But I think the Jets have the potential to be that team. But right now, who would I bet on every day of the week to win the division? Buffalo.
Well, it's only because you've seen it.
Okay.
But you haven't seen
when the Jets
yet.
Show me differently, then maybe I'll change my
we're
tune.
We're going to show you.
That's fine, and then I'll change my tune. I like what the Jets have done.
As of
For me to sit here and say they're going to be a 12-win team is a lot.
As of now, with more free agency to go and the draft, how far back would you say the Jets are?
Far back.
Like more than 2 wins?
No.
No. I look at the
they have
Bills.
A better defense.
I look at the Bills as a 12-win team. I look at the Jets as a 10 or maybe 11-win team.
Oh, so...
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a cavern between the two, but I think the Bills are right now a better team. There's no way you can jump me for saying the Bills are a better team than the Jets.
No, I'm not jumping you for saying that the Bills are a better team. RJ's asking you how much of the Jets close the gap between themselves and Buffalo.
No, he's asking you, are the Bills still clearly the best team in the division? In my mind, yes, they are.
Jets are two, though.
Jets are two. No, I don't think the Jets are definitively two. I think the Jets certainly could be two, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were two. The same way I wouldn't be surprised if Miami was two again. Really? Nobody agree? I'm the only one that has these
and
thoughts?
And we get the benefit of the third place schedule this year.
Yes. That's nice.
Yes. See, I know it's become trendy. I don't think the window is closed on Buffalo. Anytime you got Josh Allen, I think your window's always open.
Window's closed is such a dumb thing to say.
Well, but you've heard a little bit of that, right? Like window for a Super Bowl.
Okay. So they won a playoff game. And they missed a field goal to tie the eventual Super Bowl champions. How could you possibly say that anything is closed or this is over or they're on the wrong side of where they're trying to get to?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Now, do you disagree, RJ, that the only team I consider and definitively tell you the Jets are better than in this division right now are the Patriots?
I agree.
Okay.
I think this division is going to tighten up, though.
I agree with that.
I don't think it's a de facto that Buffalo runs away and hides.
Buffalo didn't run away and hide
tired.
Last year.
The band got tired. So,
where's the music, Ray?
The band is taking a break. They're back.
No.
We had a minor...
Even the Titanic band didn't stop.
Well, yeah, but how'd that work out for them?
Well, it didn't end well, but at least they played all the way through.
I gotta tell
you. Maybe if they claimed they had a child, they would be okay.
This is right. Have your back. Ship's going down. That violin, toss it over. No way I'm sticking around.
How dedicated was that guy? Or those four guys? Ship's going down.
I got no interest.
Let's continue to play dinner music? I mean, good on them.
We want to keep the people entertained.
But how dedicated are they to their
how
craft?
How entertained are you going to be as the ship is
Can you imagine though? Ship going down? I'm like, no, ask me one more where he went to college.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, I'm out of there.
By the way.
I'm in a lifeboat.
Here come the Dodgers.
Mookie Betts hit a two-run homer, 10-8.
What were they down? 5-0? Yamamoto went one inning?
I think they were down 9-2.
That might be right.
Yeah.
Dodgers are good. Oh, here comes the...
Very good. Don't say it. Otani is now at the plate.
Sorry.
Where's the interpreter?
Jazz Chisholm. You know him.
Yes.
He plays for the Marlins.
He sure does.
He went on the pivot, which
is a tough last name.
You got to be careful.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
So
I honestly, like, I have a tournament update on the way soon.
So
I give up.
Jazz went on the pivot, which apparently
he'd be good in one of your movies.
He would be.
It would be great.
I don't know if you can afford him though.
Chisholm again.
You know, you're
it actually sounds worse when you say it like that.
I don't think you should say it.
I don't want you on the set. I'll tell you that right now.
You're very creative in how you dance around the rules.
RJ, you're allowed on the set.
I didn't even mean it to do that.
What do you mean you didn't mean?
Yeah. I didn't realize when I said
because
it would sound like
such
that.
Such a debaucherous lunatic.
Ooh, that was close.
What? I was going to say fool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, anyways, he's a baseball player, if you're unfamiliar. He's on the Marlins.
He's good.
He is good. He went on the pivot, which apparently is where...
I don't know why.
Stop
I don't know.
It. Stop it.
No, I don't know why I found that funny.
So that's apparently where people go now to just air the dirty
Is
water.
That the Ryan Clark show?
Yeah, it's a,
nice.
It's a good program.
He's one of ours. Right?
Yeah, it's a good program.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Jazz, I'm going to say his last name, talking about when he first got to the Marlins.
Like, you ain't supposed to have a vet that's trying to bring down the rookies, bro. I was that guy that got in trouble so much because when I saw other rookies getting bring down by the vets, I was the one fighting the vet. That was the problem. Like, I was already a team leader without being called a team leader. But the vets, you can't be a team leader when you got guys in the clubhouse that's been in there for 9-10 years. Even though they suck, they've been there for 9-10 years.
Yeah.
And the team calls them the team captain, but, like, they're not a good captain. They're not a good person. You're not even a good athlete at this point. Yeah. You're just here. Yeah. And you're bringing down the young guys that are supposed to be good.
You're just here.
I don't know the Marlins well enough, but I'm sure you can figure out who he's talking
well,
about if
funny,
you're like a
he
beat
was Rojas,
reporter,
right?
Yeah, funny you say that.
Miguel so, Rojas?
Oh, yeah.
So Miguel Rojas is he's believed to be one of the guys, but you look at, he said what, 8, 9, 10 years of experience? So the only people that would fit that make the number work age-wise, you'd have to be at least in your early 30s. On that roster, Rojas, there's Corey Dickerson.
I cannot imagine it's Corey Dickerson.
Starling Marte. Adam Duvall.
But Marte, good athlete.
Yeah. And,
right?
And jacked. And Jesus Aguilar. So that's kind of the guys that would fit that
bill. Yeah, it feels like Rojas, right? Of those guys?
You would think so. So here was more on that from Jazz, unnamed last name player.
I watched someone get called up to the big leagues, supposed to be like top three prospects on our team. He gets up there, hits a homer. His next at bat, he goes and does the Juan Soto shuffle, right? He's a kid. His favorite player is Juan Soto. He just got to the big leagues. Tell me why these vets sit on the side of him and start yelling at him saying, bro, you're not f***ing Juan Soto, bro. You shouldn't be doing that. Bro, what do you mean? He's having fun, bro. We playing a kids games.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I step in and say, bro, y'all better back up off this boy, bro. This man is starting. He's playing every day for us. Why are y'all in his face? Y'all don't even play every day.
Well, I don't know that I have a huge problem with that.
Well, I think there's a fine line that you walk as a veteran. Right? I mean, you're trying to, you don't know what you don't know. And you hope you get lucky enough to have a veteran that takes a liking to you and kind of shows you the way. But you also don't want to, you want the kids to come up and feel comfortable. Because if they're comfortable, they're going to play at their best, and that's going to lead to everyone's success. You don't want to stifle that, but you also want to let them know, like, there are certain ways that we should go about our business. Showing up a pitcher is not necessarily going to be the right thing
right.
to do.
Right. Like, I think not being there for that, I think that's kind of a fine line. You know, like, I could see both sides having a legitimate case there.
But I also think, RJ, did you read some of the stuff that I think it was Jalen Johnson was saying about the whole Caleb Williams thing?
Did
you read any of that?
I did not.
The cornerback?
Yeah. So he did some kind of, I don't know if it was an interview podcast or whatever it is, and they were talking about Caleb. And they said, so I watched this pro day yesterday, but they said, you know, when Caleb comes into your locker room, just assuming that you draft him. And he's like, listen, all that Hollywood stuff, that's, we're throwing that out the window. Like, he has to come, go to work,
right,
earn the respect of his teammates, but we as veteran guys got to get to know him too. Like, him the person. Like, that's the biggest thing. You have to get to know when you're trying to... When you're trying to be a leader in a locker room, it's important that you get to know everybody because you want everyone, like I said, to be comfortable. Like, you hear some guys talk about this, like different teams or teams that they play on that they like is the manager, the coach, or the vets in the locker room, let us be ourselves. Like, that's important, but, I mean, you also have to let guys know and teach guys, like, this is how we work. These are the things that are expected. This is how we act sometimes. Like, you don't want to stifle that, but you also want to just make sure that the guys, there's a certain way that you should handle
it. There's a middle ground, right? Of what's okay and what's not okay.
But I think there's also this, that's also one of the bigger problems in Major League Baseball, though, is that you have, hey, let the kids play, but you also have a faction of the locker room or the clubhouse that's like, no, that's not, we're not interested in that. And that's why you see like the, hey, we're celebrating home runs, the next pitch, you know, is off the guy's back.
So what's interesting, you brought up Caleb Williams. He's really the first NIL star. Would you agree? Like, he's already got millions in his pocket.
I think he made $10 million over the last 2 years.
Armando Bacot, I know, has made a fortune of money down in Carolina.
But, I mean, Caleb Williams is...
Caleb was living, like, in a luxury apartment in Virginia or something.
I like Armando.
I think Bacot makes, like, $3 million a year.
I like Bacot, but he may not get drafted.
No. I'm not comparing them at the next level, but you said the first real NIL star.
Star two, let me clarify.
Semantics.
Star.
No, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just saying I think there are other guys that have also made a lot of money with NIL stuff.
So he's going to be the first star that is like the face of a pro franchise.
Yes.
So I've heard, Rick, I've heard you say this, like money kind of just makes you like more of what you are. Like, I guess you kind of know what he is. Like, he's already shown you some of, if you perceive them to be flaws.
Right, but he also saw, so I watched his pro day yesterday, and I couldn't believe how... like casual and nonchalant, like this, it must be his confidence or whatever it is, like that he, in the midst of, you got poles there, you got the coach, you got Eberflus, you have all these people watching, there's cameras everywhere.
Nothing was phasing him?
Nothing. Like, he was calm, relaxed. Nonchalant would be the best word that I use to describe it, and you can see how talented he is. But I thought what was important was afterwards, RJ, to your question, watching how his teammates reacted to him. Like, we've seen all that stuff. As long as when he gets inside the locker room and shows those guys how, you know, respect first, because you want to respect the older guys, but just how hard he works, how dedicated he is to football, then you're willing to live with some of the other stuff.
I thought one of the quotes you said, I think it was last week, was, you know, I'm not just saying this to blow smoke. It was one of the smartest things I've heard on it. You know, it was about Aaron Rodgers. He can handle it. Can the other guys around him handle it? Like, what's coming to Chicago? I saw Keenan Allen was there too.
Yeah.
So if you know, the fingernail stuff, and if he can play, no one's going to care.
It doesn't matter. If he goes out there and he can throw darts, they're going to love him in Chicago.
Chicago's never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Which,
by the way,
who was it the other day?
RG3?
That's a question about that. Yeah, RG. Oh, RG3. That was, I mean, that's a bet to say it's not. It's a great spot what they've done there.
This is going
to
be the greatest, like, early situation where a quarterback has been drafted in a long time.
He's got Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, Cole Kmet.
And they have the 9 pick.
At least at the benefit, too, that's not their pick.
Where did I say Dante Foreman went yesterday?
I just saw that.
AFC. Browns?
He went to the Browns. Good work.
Yeah, thank you.
By the way,
that's a nice signing for the Browns.
Oh, yeah. Jameis Winston introduced himself, too. You see that?
No.
Yep.
Is there a joke in there?
They did a video. They had the whole did a video and everything else.
Okay.
Jameis Winston, nice guy. Did the he gave the blessing at one of the equipment manager for the Saints that he when he was with New Orleans at his wedding. Grabbed the microphone, gave a nice.
That's nice. I mean, your teammate married you, right?
Yeah, I win. So take that, Jameis.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Raymond.
Taking an Uber to and from your own bank robbery.
Did it happen?
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
In Florida.
The Florida Panthers, I was coaching.
Yeah, you don't care.
No.
Doesn't care. By the way.
We got it wrong last week, all of us, I believe.
By the way, Long Beach State went 21-14. How high are expectations at Long Beach State? Not trying to be that guy. Serious question.
I guess it's a new AD.
Yeah.
He's probably not his guy.
I think they finished fifth.
But Monson's probably like, wait a minute, I was at Minnesota for quite some time. I was at Gonzaga, and you're going to run me out of Long Beach State?
Yeah, I'm a little confused. Anywho, so we've all been to Wendy's. I love Wendy's. And I like that stunt they tried to pull with the
That made you very upset.
The Wall Street moving stock
price.
Well,
that was bizarre.
For their sandwiches.
You'd pay different amounts at different times of day?
Yeah. So Wendy's in a place is managed by a person. And what happened was this manager, in their opinion, they were not being paid enough money. So what did they do? During one of the hiring cycles, they hired a person that did not really exist.
And they took the salary.
And went to the point of this ghost employee.
Mm-hmm.
Clocked them in and out for 128 shifts.
This is like Ricky Stenicki.
Clocked them in and out for 128 shifts.
It's brilliant. And set up a bank account in that person's name.
To their bank account. So money being funneled from a person that does not exist.
All right, here's my thing.
Yeah.
It's too genius for Florida, not Florida.
Well, yeah, I didn't finish the story. Didn't even think
that quick?
Too genius.
Finish the story.
Oh, I thought you were done. Go ahead.
No.
Systems in place to prevent this sort of thing?
Tell them more.
No, you know what? You're so confident. I've given you all the details.
It's brilliant.
Almost too confident.
It's too brilliant.
Almost too confident.
Then you go Florida.
No, I'm not saying I'm going to go Florida, but that was talk about jumping the gun.
This is
last week. Remember, I hemmed and I hawed, and I had no idea. I feel very confident, cocky. Someone said,
"This this is like Wheel of Fortune when you solve. Like this is your chance now."
That's right. I have three letters up there, but I know what
almost
it says.
Arrogant.
Yeah.
This is from
he said mythological hero Achilles.
This is from VP on Twitter, by the way. All right, Richard.
I can't tell if he's just being overconfident or he really has a
very
feeling
confident.
This one. Look at me in the eyes. Not Florida.
Wow.
I'm with Dave.
Wow. Yep.
See? I can tell.
All right.
Yeah, Dave's logic is sound here.
It's too brilliant. It's genius.
I'm with you on this.
My wife's from Florida. How dare you?
You're really racking up the brownie points.
The fact that RJ's made it is these guys did get caught, right?
That's right.
Of course they got caught.
So
how else do you think we know about the story?
Still getting away with it.
It's like an Office Space situation.
I don't want to name names, but there are guys that are continuing this act somewhere in the country that are stealing money via a ghost employee.
Mythological hero Achilles.
Achilles.
You can't accept that.
Well, I wish he would have said what he really thinking. I can't accept that, you moron.
You idiot.
Achilles.
I met Pat Sajak.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Big hockey fan.
Is that right?
Yep.
He knew who you were?
Yeah. He came down and met him in the locker room.
Oh, at the Coliseum?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
I read a story.
Assault?
Okay.
Another feather in your lap.
Yeah.
Raymond.
Maybe it was like a down pillow and she was...
Oh, damn.
No.
So, Raymond, you're locking in not Florida.
Correct.
All right. Well, you were all wrong last week.
Oh, you got me so scared right there.
And you're all right.
I told you.
You are correct. All three
yes,
of you.
That's right. It was really, I was right and they followed my lead. But whatever, however it works is great for me.
Yeah, because you have no impulse control.
You're a bad teammate.
What does that mean?
We don't often cite this state in this portion of the show. Pennsylvania.
Really?
This is where it went down. Yep.
Smart.
That's DF.
That's nice. That's a good job by you. Just fade out the music, and let me tell you, it's time now for the tournament update, driven by Nissan. I got nothing here. Oh, I do. There we go. Grambling advances after topping Montana State in overtime 88-81. I don't know if you watched that game at all. It was actually a really good game. Number 16, Grambling now gets the honor of taking on Purdue tomorrow. How nervous you think Matt Painter and Purdue are to be the one taking on?
Probably a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think everyone's probably nervous in their first game. Just kind of get things
rolling. But they lost to a 16.
Purdue's got a lot to prove.
A lot to prove.
You didn't take Purdue, did you?
No.
He's not allowed to take Purdue.
Well, I'm just making sure.
Yesterday, I was almost swayed. You know, I read a story about how after last year's...
You have no conviction at all. You've been saying for weeks you refuse to take Purdue.
I'm not taking them. But yesterday, I read a story about how... Or I think I heard it was on ESPN Daily. About how Matt Painter, at the start of this season... All the guys that were on last year's team after that debacle got them in a room and they like opened up about like the feelings that they were harboring and like it's not going to be this way.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
I like that.
Anyhow, Colorado last night as well beat Boise State in a battle of the 10 seeds. That means that Colorado takes on number 7 Florida tomorrow. And that is your tournament update driven by Nissan, coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com today. RJ Raymond, I apologize in advance for this. I'm sorry that we have to do this.
Are you going to do that now?
I don't want to.
Again,
do it.
Doesn't seem like you're actually sorry.
No, I actually am.
I was just thinking, though, quickly before you get into the story that you teased for the last 2 hours.
Well, now it's time.
No, with the Miami Marlins story, how hard it would be as an older player now, and how much credit I would give to like Tom Brady or what Aaron's doing now, to have this like this new generation of athlete come in and not feel a way about some of the stuff that I'm sure that they see them doing on a regular basis.
I'm sure they're very turned off by it.
Well, because you brought up in a different...
Well, you said you were turned off by stuff that wasn't even nearly as bad as that, right? Like, guys would just want to go back to the room and play video games.
Well, it's
games.
A whole different world.
I mean, Tom Brady retired at, what, 45?
Like, there are certain
He was
ways...
old enough to be these guys' parents.
Right, like, I can go back in my mind and remember certain ways that I was treated by veteran players that probably wasn't good for my development. Like, it was the wrong thing to do. But I could also understand, though, like, if a, you know... Even if you're not the best player on the team and you're not playing that much, you're missing the point. Like, I'm here for 9 years, 10 years. There's something to be said about me being in this league for that long. And there are certain... Freddie Freeman, him and Acuna used to get into this when he was with the Braves.
Right.
They used to piss Acuna off. It would just be hard being an older player now.
Well, and you know, guys it's different generations, right?
Like, guys just walking in like, yeah, I've arrived. Well,
how many...
You've been here for 2 days.
You ever talked to, like... How much younger is your brother than you?
3.5 years.
Yeah, so they probably don't have that. But like my brothers are 9 and 11 years older. So you know, there's like a real disconnect because there's such an age difference.
Yeah, could you imagine though, like at that age, having, you know, 22-year-old kids come to the locker room and then just right. finding a way.
And they think they're great. And I'm sure that, you know, coming
well,
up, they have
imagine
they have
how,
been great.
With how much money they're already making.
They're making a lot of money. Or they're often coddled now. It's not as difficult as it used to be. So, yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of the and Brady was, I mean, literally 45 years old playing with 21, 22-year-olds.
And he found a way.
Well, because he's the ultimate winner. Can I play the audio now?
Please. I was trying to save RJ and Raymond from this.
But they have to face reality. So, this is Buster only. And I believe he was on with Hembo. On the podcast that they do or were doing. And I'm just going to play it because it's not good for anybody who loves the Yankees. This is on Gerrit Cole.
You know, I've asked folks with other teams who don't have access to Gerrit Cole's medical information, but they've seen this play out and they know about, you know, about treatments and how players are dealt with and the language of these situations. And every person I've asked said, oh, he's headed to Tommy John surgery. Like, there's no doubt in their mind. They haven't looked at a medical report, but they know the trajectory of pitchers with these situations. So, boy, as you say, that would be absolutely devastating.
That is such horrendous news to hear. And again, it's not an updated anything. And nobody has looked at his medical records and said, yes, because of what I've seen. But the point is that, I mean, Buster is speaking to people littered around baseball. And to a man, everybody says, this will end in Tommy John surgery.
Which for a Yankees fan, just the Yankees in general, is the worst possible case scenario.
The worst possible case scenario. Is if
well, that's what I mean.
They shut him down for 2 months.
Right, he comes back.
He slowly ramps up. He comes back. He pitches, and then in like August, it's re-injured or it creeps up again. Shut it down again. Tommy John. He'll miss the remainder of this year and all of next year. That's your worst case scenario.
It's never good timing. Listen, it's never good timing. But this would be the absolute worst.
But
timing.
It's never good timing, of course.
But for the situation the Yankees are in right now, with the expectations,
right.
with Juan Soto on a 1 year deal. With the amount of free agents after the season, them saying that we're all in. If that were to happen, and what makes it even worse for Gerrit Cole is, I mean, he goes all the way to L.A. Neil Eilish looks at it. I'm sure Neil probably has the same thought as all the people that Buster Olney was talking to. Is like, you have all these symptoms. We got the nerve irritation. Like, I've seen what this usually leads to.
If there's not a tear, what are you supposed to do?
But that's what I'm saying.
Right.
But there's nothing we can do because it's not torn.
Can you do preemptive Tommy John?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Like, if you don't have a tear, if there's nothing to go in and actually operate on, what are you going to do?
I mean, I guess you go in and strengthen it, but there's still, I mean, then you're going to be shutting him down anyway.
So if he got shut down now and had the surgery in a month and missed maybe none of or a month of next season, you say, it sucks, it's awful, but we'll be okay. We'll figure it out this year, do the best we can. Next year, we'll have him back down the stretch run. He'll be at 100%. If he somehow tries to push this back and get back this year and can't pitch in the most meaningful games this year, and then on top of that misses all of next year, that'd be catastrophic for the Yankees.
Well, how comfortable can the Yankees feel, just in general? I mean, now you're reading reports that they're kind of re-engaged with Jordan Montgomery, or engaged with Jordan Montgomery.
Right.
Trying to figure out something there.
Right. I think you should be... I said at the time, how often do you hear a guy has this kind of elbow discomfort, nerve irritation, has to shut it down, doesn't feel right, ends really well? And this was the DeGrom story forever. Something's wrong. No, we find nothing wrong.
I'm sorry, RJ. This is not...
It's a terrible story.
It's a terrible story.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.